Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
We're in a sermon series in the book of Luke, and what we're going to do is we're going to start here in Luke, and we're going to go all the way to Easter. And so that's a long time to be in a book, but it's going to be good. It's going to be rich. It's going to be very enlightening, if you will. And I just want to go just a quick flyover, just a recap of what Pastor Adam led off. And he started off just talking about how we need to be certain. We need to be certain about the gospel of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is. Now, how many of you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And so we have to be careful because there's a lot of things going on in society today that will conflict that, to try to get you not to believe that. And so if you don't know the word, you can be pulled away. And what I love about Luke is like you and I. He's just a normal man who chose to investigate the word of God. He chose to dig deep, just like Pastor Adams talking about a dog. You know how a dog tries to go dig up an old bone? That's what he did. He went and began to dig up stories. Let me learn more about who this Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. And he began to speak to people like you and I, Gentiles. Now, you say, what's a Gentile? Anybody that's not part of the Jewish heritage or Jewish faith or Jewish culture. So those people were special in a sense. But Luke said, no, I want to be able to reach everybody. Everybody needs this gospel. So Pastor Adam started off explaining and then making sure that it's certain that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the points that he brought out was that Jesus fits three ways: biblically, philosophically, and religiously. And that when we left that series, that day, we left that morning, he asked three questions that left with us. Who am I? Where are you? Or why are you here? Excuse me. And what's wrong with the world? If we can answer those three questions in life, we'll be okay. And I'll say that again. Who am I? Who am I? Am I just lucky mud? Am I just out here just going through motions? Or am I made special in the image of God and called to do something on this side of the eternity? Why are we here? Am I just here hanging out, just trying to just barely make it and just, just get to know people? Or no. God has a mission, a purpose, and a plan for you and I. And what's wrong with the world? We understand this. We learned during that time and that sermon that we live in a fallen world. And that, you know what, there's a God in heaven who loves his creation, and one day he's going to redeem it and bring us back to him. The next thing we learned about was that there was a man that had to go before and set the stage to usher in Jesus, and his name was John the Baptist. The thing about John the Baptist was that John was special. John was chosen to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was chosen to go and make this place a way for Jesus to come. And how he did that was odd and different because so many people were looking for this Messiah to come a certain way. But he prepared the way in such a way that was intense. It was confrontational. It was almost like, wow, I can't believe how he's coming at us as a person. He said, you brood of vipers. That's scary. Somebody call, I'm not going to come and hear nobody speak if they call somebody a brood of vipers. But you know what? He was a forerunner. He was a herald. He was the man that called God. And he said this: the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it's time for you and I to repent. To repent and to turn away from not just certain things, turn away from all things, and then turn to God. Turn to God. And what I love the most about what Pastor Adam preached, it wasn't just about spiritual activity. So many times we look for activity, but we're looking for fruit. And fruit that remains. There's got to be evidence of a changed life when you and I turn away from something and we turn to God. There needs to be a change, and the change usually starts internally. Also, we learned about the last time he preached, he talked about, do you trust me? And that we talked about Jesus being in the wilderness. And that wilderness experience is for all of us because all of us are going to go through the highs and the lows, just like we just sung. There's going to be hills, and there's going to be valleys. But you know what? Jesus showed us how to get through the wilderness. And if you understand how Jesus did it, he spoke the word. And it's so important for you and I to understand the word, because the only thing that the devil respects is the word of God. It's not about our bank accounts. It's not about who we know or where we live. No, he says, I fear God. I feel the power. I feel the power of God. And so it's important for us to understand that he's after three things. He's after our appetites. You know, the enemy's crafty. He's been hunting men and women for a long time. And so he knows how to get you and I. He goes after the appetites. He goes after our worship. He goes after our lordship. But the question is this. When you turn away from all those things and you say, Lord Jesus, I choose to trust you and make you the central point of my life. And I'm putting all the weight of everything that I go through in life upon you and make you Lord. Something supernatural takes place. It gives you the ability to walk through the wilderness, and it does something inside of you as a man or woman of God. It makes you stronger, and it builds your faith up to know that, man, not only can I take care of things personally, but now that I can take care of this business, I can go out into society and be used by God. And that's what I want to talk about today, because today we're going to talk about the mission. See, after Jesus went through all that preparation, the Father, the Son, the dove resting on his shoulder, going out and blasting the devil, beating him up out there in the wilderness. Man, it didn't just stop there in the wilderness. It said that he came out in the spirit of power. And it was time to get busy and do some things for the Lord. So let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you this morning for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. God, we pray that, Lord, you would begin to challenge us in a way. Not just to sit in the four walls of the church, but to be active in our communities, in our cities, in our workplaces, in our families. I pray today that we would understand that we were born for mission, that we're not here just to go through the motions, but there's something great you want to do with us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. A mission. Every man and every woman needs a mission. If we don't have a mission, we get what we call stale. We get comfortable, we get complacent, and things can go wrong for you and I if we don't have a vision for our life. And so I remember years ago, I was playing a sport, just like Pastor Adam and I. We knew one day this sport was going to end. We never knew how it was going to end, but we knew one day the body is going to give out and it's not going to work anymore. And so I remember going through and playing in the National Football League, playing in Canada, playing in Europe, playing over in the Arena League. I did all these sports and activities, and it was going great. And then I encountered some people of every nation, and they began to teach me the word of God and train me and equip me to go and do things for God as I played this sport. But what they said is this: one day this sport's going to end, and one day you got to begin something else. There's something else that God is going to call you to do. And I'm like, I don't believe that. I'm going to play this game until I'm 100 years old. And they said, no, we need to train you and equip you right now so that when you leave one thing, because how you leave one thing is how you're going to enter another. So how I leave this game is how I'm going to enter into whatever the next phase of my life is going to be. And so I remember playing this game, and all of a sudden I got this desire to win people on my team for Jesus. I didn't know what I was doing. I just had a bit of the word, just a little bit. You heard Pastor Adam say that pastors are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it doesn't matter your profession or occupation, where you are, that's your mission field. And so I began to understand that, okay, all this sport is a platform to go in and minister the love of Jesus in a high school, a middle school, a college campus, or, you know, go anywhere available to share my testimony about what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for me. And you know what was pretty neat? People actually got born again without me having the title pastor. And I need you to hear that this morning. You don't need a title to win someone to Jesus. You don't need a title to go and do something for God. You just need to be available. Amen. You just need to be available. So last week when we did the yard sale, man, I saw our family come in here. We made ourselves available, and God did something, brought people in this church that normally wouldn't come to church because we were available. We were available. So as my career began to wind down, I knew something. What am I going to do after I'm done playing? And so after I stepped out, they said, there's a call of God on your life. You know, I was kind of scared. I don't know Pastor Adam was scared. A call? What are you talking? A call for what? Ain't nobody calling me. I'm hoping the football team will call me. but a call of God? No, no, no. You're going into the ministry. We feel there's a call. You know, you're bearing fruit outside of, you know, like a pastor would do. You're doing some great things. I'm like, man, I'm not. You got the wrong character. And he said, no, you have a call. But you know what? The thing about a mission is this. The definition of mission is this, according to the Oxford Dictionary. It says this: an important assignment given to a person or a group of people, typically involving travel abroad. An assignment given, needing a person. And so in order to go on a mission, you got to be available. There needs to be an assignment, and you got to be able to travel. And so these men said, you know what? We're going to give you an assignment. You're going to go over to this campus, and you're going to sit there with these college students, and you're going to teach them the Bible, and let's see what God does. And you know what? One by one, college students started getting born again. Next thing I know, another campus ministry got born, started going, got birth. All of a sudden, these things started happening because I raised my hand and said, I'll do it. For a mission, you need a person, and you need clarity, and you need an assignment. You need a person. Are you available this morning? That's what I want to ask you. Are you available this morning? If God taps you on the shoulder and says, I need you to do something for me, will you be available? Will you heed to the assignment that God gives you? And as it's clear what you're called to do, will you embrace it? See, Jesus had an assignment. An assignment, I was laughing because as I was putting this together in my mind, I'm thinking how it went down in heaven. God loves people because he created them in his image. He loves all people, all creation. And it says this, that, man, I believe his heart broke when we separated from him in the garden. And you got to understand that, man, he longs for you and I. He will woo us, draw us, do whatever it takes. But he couldn't get to us because of his friend, his adversary, the devil, Lucifer, whatever, got involved and split man up and got us outside. But he had a way. He had a plan. And I could hear that. I could imagine the story. Son, I love the people down there. And I want them back because I made them. But you know what? It's going to take something awesome and sacrificial to get them back. Now, I don't have anybody in mind, but would you be willing to do it? And you know what? Jesus loves his daddy. I got children, and I know my children love their daddy. And when I say something I need from my kids, you know what? They respond. They respond. And you know what, Jesus? What do I need to do? And I guarantee the daddy turned to him, and just like Rocky Balboa, put them hands together, and this was the mission. 1 John 3:8, it says this: Jesus was not playing. The reason the Son of God came to appear was to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come to earth to play games. He didn't come down here to talk and make us feel comfortable and complacent and friendly. No, he came to destroy the works of the devil, because he loves people and he wants his creation back. See, the enemy comes to do three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not your friend. He's not my friend. And if he can get you off the face of this earth as quickly as he can, he will do it. Why? Because of the destiny and the purpose inside of you. See, the longer you're here, and when you get this word, what's going to happen is it's going to enlighten you. You're going to get fired up. You're going to want to go do something for Jesus, and you're going to want to win souls. And see, the problem with it is this: if I can get you confused, get you off your game, get you distracted, get you tempted, get you going off and doing things you don't want to do, then all of a sudden, you're off course. You're off your assignment. Now, all of a sudden, you're more concerned about the world instead of winning the world. It begins right here, Luke 4:14 in your Bibles. This is Jesus. Jesus is a rock star now. Jesus came out of the wilderness on fire. He's got a clear mission: destroy the works of the enemy. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to be religious. I'm not here to sit here and wear what would Jesus do bracelet. I'm not here to have a cross on my neck. I'm here to take care of business, which means I need my people back with me. Starting in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus returned in Galilee, in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. when he went to Nazareth, where he had begun, where he had been brought up, excuse me, on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was custom. He stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found this place written where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and the recovery for the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled it up, the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yes. Yes. Jesus said, I came to redeem the man. I'm here in the spirit of power. And as he's speaking to these people, their eyes are open and they're watching this man speak. And instead of getting happy, they got mad. They got mad. You know why? Because in their mind, they thought Jesus, their Messiah, they thought their king was coming back a different way. They thought he was coming back to redeem man on a horse with a sword to get them out from this ugly Roman Empire and bring them back and put Israel back where they belonged as a nation. They were so mad because Jesus didn't say it was just for them, but God wants to redeem the world. See, they looked at themselves, this is just about me. No, no, Jesus is saying it's about everybody. It's about we. It's about we. See, they thought, yeah, we're poor in spirit. They can rest with that. They can agree with that. Yeah, we're poor. We're oppressed. That's us. Yeah, you're talking about us. But when he swung over there and began to talk about the Gentiles, when he began to talk about people outside of the covenant, outside of those of Jewish culture, now all of a sudden they're mad and they're indignant. Now think about this. Have you ever gone back to your hometown after being born again and try to witness to your family members? Yeah, I can hear the laughter. Have you ever gone back and tried to witness to your family members after you got saved? I remember the first time I tried that. I came home, guns blazing, fired up. Let me kick the door in. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if everybody in this house don't get right with God, you're all going to hell. Start with you. And you, and you, and you. Stop this, stop that. And they just kind of looked at me. What's wrong with you? And then the old timers in the house looked back. You know, they got that they looked like, wait a minute, time out. I used to change your diapers. I mean, I knew you back in the day. Oh, you used to be the worst one. How are you going to come in this house and tell us that you need the Lord? But you know what? Just like Jesus, it didn't matter. Because he still had to deliver the word to the people. Because his mind was focused. He had clarity. He was on assignment. And he knew what he had to do. See, when you're on mission, the first thing you got to have is this. This is my first point. Is that you have to have an open mind. See, when you're on mission, you have to have an open mind. The people thought it was going to go down one way. But God has it going another way. He's going to redeem man a specific way. It's not going to be the way you think it's going to go down. No, I'm going to do it a different way. The Bible says this in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and does not return from it, watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse 11, so is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire. Say what I desire. And achieve the purpose for which it was sent. You got to have an open mind. It's never going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. And these people were indignant. They were angry because they thought it was going to go down another way. Jesus said, no, the way I'm going to do this is totally different from what you think. I'm coming not just for you, but I'm coming from all creation, all humanity. And the people that you don't like the most, those are the ones that I'm going to really get after. Those are the ones that's going to get the word. Those are the ones that I'm going to bless. Those are the ones that I'm going to use. And you know, they just got more and more angry and more mad. God always does opposite than what we think. Think about this, Matthew 20, verse 28. Think about this. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for ransom. How is it that he can serve, but then when it's time for us to serve, we don't want to serve? I stepped on some toes this morning. How is it that Jesus said, I came to serve? Serving will get you into places that you have no business getting into. If you go into somebody's house and you serve them, I don't want anything from you. I just want to help you. I'll cut your grass. I'll wash your car. I'll do this. I'll take your children to school. I'll help you in any way, shape, or form. You'll be amazed how all of a sudden hearts are open. All of a sudden they're receptive to what you and I want to say. But see, when it's about you and you alone, then all of a sudden they're going to be closed off. But Jesus said, man, I come to serve. When you're on assignment, when you're on mission, when we went to Baja, we didn't come in with our pants all pulled up. We're the American people here, and we're going to tell you what to do from Mexico. This is what you're going to do. We're America. We got our flag, dun, 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 dun. You know, we didn't, it wasn't none of that. You know what? We came in with gifts, toys, candy, and we just began to serve. We said, how can we help you? What? Let me play with your children and you go rest and do what you need. We're out here in the community serving. And when you serve, it opens the door to so many things. So people, you think in order to lead that you got to be at the top. But if you lead from behind, you can get a greater return because people aren't expecting you down here to do anything. Serve. Man, if you serve, people are so amazingly that will come out of the woodwork and listen to what you have to say. Man, I go to these football games on Friday night. Man, I was watching Dale Barton play Morris Knowles, and I'm freezing because it's cold. Anything under 50, Pastor Adam, I'm freezing. I'm letting you know. I'm a tropical man. I'm just telling you right now. And I'm out there. It's freezing. I'm like, that was one. And I'm just out there. But you know what? I was out there. This is why I'm serving my daughter. I'm letting her see her daddy loves her out here in this freezing cold weather. I love you, baby. I will be here for you anytime you need me, but it is cold. Can I get a hot chocolate? It's just anything to stay warm. And people are taking notice because they always see me come in there, you know, watch this game, and they know I'm freezing. I'm over there like this, but I'm serving it. Man, and all of a sudden, I start talking to people and noticing people, and man, you know what? I heard you're this, you're a co-chaplain, you serve this team, and that. And I'm always quick to just say, yeah, you know what, why don't you come visit us? Why don't you come out here and hang at our church? Serve. Serve. He's always going to do opposite of what you expect. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans of man, but the purposes of God prevail. When on mission, number two, include others. Include others. Don't do it alone. That's why I love working with Pastor Adam and Pastor Dottie. We never do anything alone. Now, there's certain things that you do need to go do, but always include others with you. Yes. Bring people. Yesterday, Sam and I sitting up in the stands down in New Providence watching my son play football. Man, I brought him in on it because I want him to experience and see things, meet people, be a part of things. You know what? That's important to bring others in. Jesus loves people. I'm going to say that again. And you know what? Sometimes it gets messy when you're on mission with other people. You know, God will put a man or a woman in your life to rub you the wrong way. I said that, yes. Somebody that's going to challenge you. Somebody that's going to push you. Somebody that's going to make you great. See, you go on a mission, you'll find out what's inside of you. Because sometimes we think we got it all together until you get around somebody else that has their stuff together. And they're calling you to another level. They're calling you to another level of faith, another level of prayer, and another level of worship. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God loves people. and he's patient with them. And it takes time to win a soul. It costs money to win people to Jesus. It costs time, talent, and treasure. But I promise you this, the same way Jesus took time with us, if you take time with others, it'll be a great return. There's nothing like it. When you get into this community and you begin to learn the community, learn about Hapakong back there, way back there going west. No, they're not. It's not as far as where Ron and Tiffany are there in Long Valley, but it's out there. Learn about it. Go out there, drive Route 10 and go down 287 on a mission. Go figure it out. Go learn the code, learn the areas, Denville. Learn about Mount Tabor. I walk around. I don't even know where I'm at half the time. Where am I? But, you know, I'm learning the culture. You'll be amazed at the people that you'll run into, the people you'll get to meet. Mission-minded. Assignment. Go out there and win people for the Lord. Went on mission. Number three, practice what we preach. Jesus had a teaching ministry and a healing ministry. But he practiced what he preached. And the reason it was so significant when he was sitting there teaching these men and women this stuff. Now, I need you to understand this. There were people back then that could memorize the five first books of the Bible. Anybody can do that? I can't. Because as soon as I hit Leviticus, I'm done. Genesis, Exodus, I don't even want to read no more. But they got to realize, they memorized the first five books of the Bible. And they thought they was the stuff because they could quote the Bible. But let me explain something to you about Jesus. The difference between the way Jesus taught and they taught. Jesus taught as one that wrote the book. Amen. See, when he spoke with authority, not only did he speak just a little bit, but he backed it up with signs and wonders. And you got to understand, when you're on mission, Jesus told you and I the same thing. When you are out in mission and you pray for the sick, you lay hands on somebody, you speak the word, you share your testimony, God said something will happen. He says, lo, I am with you at all times. So if you put yourself in a position to be used by God on mission, something good is going to happen. But you got to put yourself out there. The reason he could destroy the works of the devil is because he beat the devil. And see, to have authority, you got to be under authority. And the reason Jesus had real authority, because he was under the Father's authority and was able to go out there and lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and do supernatural things. And that was making these people drawn to him. It's amazing watching what he could do. These people were so mad at Jesus when he was doing all this stuff. It said that they wanted to kill him right there on the spot. But you know, the power of God is this. He said, no, it's not my time. He said he walked right through the people. It parted. That was the only miracle that they got to see. See, the quickest thing to kill mission is doubt. See, when you doubt God and you doubt his ability and you doubt what he can do with you and with me, all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'll go find somebody with faith. I'll go find a man or woman, just a little bit of faith. It don't take a lot. All it takes is this right here. I'll do it. Sign me up. I'll go. Use me. You know what? When we call to go to the trunk or treat this year, I'm raising my hand first. I'll go first. I'll be the one to go out there and get in the community right here behind us and just pass out flyers. I'll be the one to go out and type things on the door. Why? Because I want to see God do something great in our community here in this region, in this area. Jesus walked it like he talked it, and he was the first amigo. Some of y'all didn't get that because y'all don't understand. We disconnected from the culture. 1 Corinthians 4:20, and I'm closing. For the kingdom of God is not just like this, a lot of talk, but it's living in God's power. The kingdom of heaven is just not talk. When you're on mission, it's more than talk, man. It's power, it's demonstration, it's something supernatural that needs to take place and happen. I'm going to challenge us as a church today. Start today. Take those cards on your chair. And I want you to believe God for a family. For a family. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to do everything in my power to be used by you to bring a man, a woman, and their family to this church. I'm through being scared. I'm through being afraid. I could care less what people think about me. I'm just going to be crazy for Jesus. And I promise you this. Once you get a taste of God, there's nothing like it. It was enough to keep me from pursuing what I wanted to do in life, which was to play in the NFL. Because once I got used by God, I didn't want anything else. I didn't want anything else. All I cared about was, man, who can I tell about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And that's the spirit that I would love to have on this church. That's the spirit.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.